Hey, welcome to True North Church. Wherever you happen to be tuning in from, watching or listening from, we are excited, we are thrilled that you are joining us today because we believe God has a life-changing word for you today. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like being uncomfortable. And the truth is, I don't know you. I'm not inside of your head. I'm not with you on a daily basis, but I know this about you. I don't think you like being uncomfortable either. And especially in the United States of America, where we have access to so many things to make our lives more comfortable, we don't like being uncomfortable. Can we just, like, as we begin today, can we admit that? Can we admit that we will do just about anything to not be uncomfortable? Right? I mean, think about just your daily life, right? We have climate controlled everything, pretty much everywhere we go, right? When it's hot out, we have air conditioning. When it's cold, we have heat. I mean, even when we get into our vehicles, into our cars, they are like perfectly climate controlled, like to the extreme now. So a couple of, well, it's probably, I don't know, it's over a year now. I bought a new car, I bought a Honda CR-V, right? The classic pastor's vehicle, the Honda, right? And one of the things that I love about this car, and honestly, just full disclosure, one of the reasons I bought this car wasn't because it got great gas mileage or I could fit a lot of stuff in the back. It was for the heated seats. Now, can we just talk for a second? Come on, can we be real for a second and talk about the ridiculousness of heated seats in our vehicles? Like, we so need comfort. We so value comfort that we need a special heater just for our tushy when we get into the car. Like, we can't wait even 2 minutes for the car to warm up and the rest of our body to warm up. We gotta have heat immediately on our bum the second we get into our car. The bottom line is that we hate to be uncomfortable. We wanna be comfortable all the time, and yet here's what I'm learning. Guys, there's a beauty in discomfort. That there's a beauty in discomfort, because discomfort oftentimes, more often than not in our lives, is what leads to growth in our life. It is what creates character. It is more often than not what leads to change in our life. You know, I've been a runner for a long time. Since I was 6 or 7 years old, I used to tag along to local 5K road races with my dad. And one of the things that I learned early on as a runner was that you must embrace discomfort if you are going to ever enjoy running. You see, I think for me, I love running. I love everything about it. I love getting out on the open road. I love pushing myself to my limits. For a lot of people, though, running is like the worst thing ever. They would rather do just about anything else than go for a run. And the reason is because it's uncomfortable, right? Running is uncomfortable. I would even argue that sometimes it's downright painful. It's painful. But in order to enjoy it, in order to actually ever get anything out of running, we have to embrace that pain. We have to embrace that discomfort. Why? Because it's on the other side of the discomfort and the pain of running that we actually begin to see progress, that we see growth, that we start to get more fit, right? For some people, the growth on the other side of getting through that discomfort and that pain of running is simply just that you begin to have, it becomes easier, and you begin to actually have more joy in what you are doing, and you begin to see the health benefits. You start to get more fit, you start to feel more healthy, right? But you don't get those benefits, you don't see that growth until you push through that discomfort, until you actually embrace it, right? For me, as a runner who likes to compete, right, for me, on the other side of that discomfort is the opportunity to run faster than I've ever run before, to achieve new goals and things that I've set out to accomplish for myself. But it does not happen. Don't miss this. It doesn't happen unless we embrace the uncomfortable. In the same way, our spiritual lives are exactly the same way. That it is on the other side of discomfort that the greatest breakthroughs in our spiritual life happen. And so we're starting a brand new series this week that we are calling Uncomfortable. And really at the heart of this series is that if we want to grow, if we want to see progress in our life, in our spiritual lives, we have to embrace the uncomfortable. We must embrace the uncomfortable. See, I don't know what you believe about Jesus, but around here what we believe is that Jesus is God, and that 2,000 years ago, he came onto the scene to change our lives. And for so many of us, he has. He has given us a hope, he has given us a future, but one of the things that we must understand about Jesus is that when he came onto the scene, he did things and said things that made people incredibly uncomfortable. But it changed the world. You see, the thing that I love about Jesus is that he made everyone uncomfortable, right? He was no respecter of persons per se. Like, he made all people uncomfortable. The disciples, the religious people, the sinners, governments, establishments, everyone. He made them all uncomfortable. But why? Why did he do that? He did it because of his great love for us. He made people uncomfortable because he wanted to see people grow and to see people change. And so over the next few weeks here, we're going to look at some of the uncomfortable things that Jesus said and did. And as we begin today, here's the question that I want to ask you, that you kind of need to wrestle with and that you need to be okay with as we get started. Are you ready to get comfortable being uncomfortable? Are you ready to get comfortable being uncomfortable? And if you are, then I say, let's go. Let's dive into this, because I believe your Heavenly Father wants to grow you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you hope. But to get there, guys, we got to embrace the uncomfortable. You know, the truth is, if I'm being totally transparent, this has been one of the most challenging seasons of my life. Not even just the last few weeks, but just 2020 in general. And I'm so sure that many of you can relate to this. And on the one hand, I am so thankful for the grace of God. For the grace of God that reminds me that I am loved, that I am forgiven. I am so thankful that my performance is not what saves me, that it is not about me doing good things that's gonna get me to heaven, but that it is the grace of Christ through his blood on the cross that frees me and redeems me and restores and saves me. I'm so thankful for his promises that one day this life and the struggle of this life is gonna be no more, and he's gonna wipe all of that away. But on the other hand, come on, can I be really real and raw with you today? As I've navigated through 2020 and as I've navigated through the last few weeks of my life, there have been some moments where I'm like, come on, God. Like, why are you letting this happen? What are you doing here? Maybe you thought this. Jesus, I thought that if I followed you, I thought that if I gave my life to you, that life was going to get better. Life was going to get easier. But most of the time, and especially this year and the last few weeks of my life, I feel like it's been the exact opposite of that. See, I think we all love the amazing grace of release and relief that Christ offers, of the releasing of our burdens and the relief from the struggle and the pain of sin in our life. We love that grace. We love the forgiveness. We love that he offers us heaven and that we don't have to do anything for it, that he did it for us. We love that. And that grace is so important. It's essential. It's comfortable, right? That is the comfortable grace of God that brings healing from all of the sin in our life. But here's what I need you to hear today, and this is where we're going today. There's another side to grace that is just as important And it is an uncomfortable grace. It's not a grace of release and relief. It is a grace of refining and rebuilding us. And that today is what I want to talk about for a few minutes. This uncomfortable grace of God and how we can embrace it. Embracing the uncomfortable is how we're going to grow and change and become better in this life. And it's not going to be easy. And I need you to hear that today. This is going to be a challenging message in a lot of ways, but I believe it could be a life-giving message for somebody today. So we're going to be in the book of Mark, chapter 6, starting in verse 45. And just to give you some background and context here for what we're about to read, Jesus was always putting his disciples in uncomfortable positions, in difficult situations. And we're about to find him putting the disciples in a difficult situation. Jesus and the disciples they've been up on this mountainside all day. Jesus has been preaching to these huge crowds. And actually, Mark tells us the account of how the people were hungry. They had come from miles around. They didn't have enough food. And so Jesus took a few loaves and a few fish, and he made enough food for thousands of people. It's the feeding of the 5,000, but it was probably more like 15 or 20,000 people because they were only counting the men. So all these women and children are there too. Thousands and thousands of people. He does this incredible miracle. And at the end of the day, they're tired. The disciples, they've got to be exhausted, right? I don't know about you, but when I'm in a large crowd and I'm interacting with people all day long, it drains me, right? I'm an introvert, and the last thing I want to do is have to go through more stressful stuff at the end of a long day of interacting with people. I just want to go home, and I want to rest up, and I want to relax from my hard day, right? And yet in this moment, what we're going to find is Jesus putting his disciples in a difficult and strenuous position as they kind of wrap up and close out this long day of ministry. And this is where I want to pick this up in verse 45. First of all, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of them to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. So Jesus tells his disciples, get in the boat. I want you to go on ahead of me. I'll catch up to you. And I'm going to dismiss this crowd. I'm going to let them go. Tell them to go home. The day's over. We're done. I'm doing ministry here for the day. Now, after Jesus dismissed the crowd, it says, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. It says that later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And so Jesus, after he dismisses the crowd, he goes up by himself to another mountain, part of the mountain, to just pray, have fellowship with God. Meanwhile, the disciples have found themselves in a very precarious and difficult situation. You see, when they set out in that boat, they were to row themselves along the shoreline to get to their destination, Bethsaida. But instead, they find themselves out in the middle of this lake, this huge, massive lake, and it is windy. There is a storm that has blown up, and they are struggling. It says that they are struggling with the oars, straining at the oars. It says because the wind was against them. And the crazy thing to me about this is that Jesus doesn't do anything. He's watching what's going on. He's watching them strain at the oars, but he does nothing. This is what it says next. It says, shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. And so they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage. It's me, guys. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and immediately the wind died down. It says they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. And so let's just unpack this whole thing here, this whole scene for a second. First of all, I think one of the most fascinating things about this that we must understand is that Jesus, it says that he made his disciples get into the boat. He sent them out into the middle of this storm. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and he put them out there anyway. Even though they have had this incredibly difficult and long day, he sent them out there, and more importantly, he sent them out there alone. It says that he left them. And so the disciples, they find themselves in this incredibly difficult spot. And it wasn't just for 20 or 30 minutes. It says here that Jesus went up on the mountainside and he prayed, and he didn't go out to them until shortly before dawn. That means that these guys went out there at probably 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and Jesus didn't come to them for 8, 10, 12 hours later. They were straining at those oars. Their arms were probably exhausted. They may have even been thinking, we're going to die out here. This is an awful situation that we are in. And the question that I think we need to be asking ourselves as we read this scripture interactively is why? Why? Why in the world would Jesus put them in this position? I mean, we know that Jesus has the power to calm the wind and the waves. We know that Jesus is a God of love and compassion. I thought he was a God of love and compassion. Why in the world would he put them in this situation? The answer is that he was trying to teach them something. He's trying to grow them. And so he has allowed them to be in a situation where if they're not in that situation, they're not going to grow. You see, Jesus knows these guys. He knows their weaknesses. He knows where they need to get better. He knows where they're arrogant and self-righteous and overconfident and in their own abilities. He knows where they're doubting. He knows what they need to grow spiritually. He knows all of that. And what he's doing in this moment is he is sending them out there to teach them something that they could not have learned if they had not gone out in that boat. In this particular case, for them specifically, he's trying to teach them that he is who he says he is, that he is the Messiah, that he is God, all-powerful, almighty, right? He's trying to teach them that he had the power to turn a few loaves and a few fishes into enough for more than 15 or 20,000 people. He's trying to teach them that he could walk on water, that he could calm wind, that they needed this. They needed this to do what he would one day ask them to do. That's why he puts them in this situation, to show them who he really is, right? I love at the very end of this, it says in verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't understand. The feeding of the 5,000, the miracle he did there, it wasn't enough to get them to understand. And so he puts them in a situation where they absolutely would understand and know who he really was, so that one day they could do what he was going to ask them to do, so that they would have the faith and the trust in his power to accomplish the mission that he would send them on. Don't miss the significance of this. In the same way, Jesus, he knows you. He knows your flaws. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where you need to grow. And he is allowing you to be put in situations that are uncomfortable, that are difficult, and maybe even scary at times, so that you can grow. Because it's the only way that you and I will grow. He is putting me right now. I am in the middle of a situation. He is putting me in this situation so that I will grow, because it's the only way that I will grow. And what we must see today is that this is actually God's grace in our lives. I know that feels so counterintuitive, but it is. It is God's grace in our lives when he puts us in those uncomfortable situations. Because that is how we grow. I love how Paul David Tripp puts this. He's a pastor and author, and I've heard him talk on this subject before. And he has this quote, and I love this. I believe it's so powerful, and I believe it's something that it's a perspective that we need to shift to in the midst of our uncomfortable situations in life. This is what he says. He says, God will take you where you haven't intended to go, in order to produce in you what you could not achieve on your own. That's grace. Let me say this again. God will take you where you haven't intended to go in order to produce in you what you could not achieve on your own. That is grace. This is the uncomfortable grace of God pushing us, challenging us to be better. I don't know if you're a parent or not. I don't know if maybe you've coached a team of athletes before or ever coached somebody else. But when you really care about somebody, when you have their best interest in mind, sometimes you have to push them. You have to put them in uncomfortable situations where they might fail even in order to teach them, in order to help them grow. As a coach, my athletes, I have to push them every single day. If I don't push them, if I don't give them difficult workouts, if I don't put them in places where they have to push their body into an uncomfortable place as a runner, they never grow. They won't get better. They won't get faster. They won't achieve the goals that they want to achieve. And in the exact same way, this is what Jesus is doing for us, not to us. Don't make that mistake. Jesus isn't doing this to us. He is doing this for us. You see, we love the grace of relief and release, and Jesus offers that fully. But the grace of Jesus is not just about relief and release. It is about refining and rebuilding us. And this is the message today. If you have something to mark this down with or write this down with, Jesus doesn't just want to redeem us. He wants to refine us. Jesus doesn't just want to redeem us. He wants to refine us. The definition of grace is unmerited and undeserved favor. And that comes in two very different forms, or seemingly different forms. It comes through his redeeming grace, but it also comes through his refining grace. See, God loves us. He loves us. He loves us the way we are. He loves who we are, who he created to be. And it's his redeeming grace that is poured out on us in spite of all of our sin and all of our mistakes and our past. It is his redeeming grace poured out on us through his blood on the cross that forgives us and saves us and frees us from our guilt and our sin and our shame. But it is his refining grace that is poured out on us to make us better. Why? Because he loves us too much to let us stay where we are, to let us continue to live in the weaknesses that we have. He is trying to strengthen us and grow us through his power, through uncomfortable grace. And it is only, guys, listen to me, it is only when we live in both of those graces, the comfortable grace of God and the uncomfortable grace of God, that real change begins to occur in our lives. See, I think for so many people, they can't get past their past. They can't believe that God could love them and show them grace for what they've done. And so they turn away and they never fully embrace it. They never fully receive it. And that's so sad to me, because God's grace is bigger than all of our sin and all of our problems and everything that we've ever done. And he loves us and he offers that free gift to us, this amazing gift of his comfortable grace. But he is also offering us, those of us who've accepted and embraced that grace, he's offering us another kind of grace. He's offering us a grace that changes us, that moves us beyond where we are. And he does that through uncomfortable grace. And I think for so many people, they think that everything should just be easy. Once we begin to follow Jesus, once we accept his comfortable grace, okay, everything's just going to be comfortable now. It's all going to be easy moving forward. And we miss out on his amazing, refining grace. And we don't grow. We never grow. The bottom line is that both of these graces are undeserved. I don't deserve for God to redeem or refine me. I deserve, this is the truth today, guys, I deserve to go to hell. But for the grace of God, He is pouring out his comfortable grace on you, but he is also pouring out his uncomfortable grace on you. And I need you to hear this today. Growth only comes through uncomfortable grace, through that discomfort. We must see the discomfort as a gift. It is a gift of grace from God rather than a punishment. And this is a huge, huge perspective shift. Jesus doesn't just want to redeem us. He wants to refine us. And his primary method of refining us is through his uncomfortable grace. Like gold being refined in a blazing fire, right? The only way to bring the impurities out of gold and to purify it to perfection is to put it in a blazing hot fire. And the hotter that fire is, the quicker those impurities come out. Guys, the past few weeks and this year in general, you know, 2020, man, I feel like I've been put through the refiner's fire in a way that I have not been put in maybe ever in my life. But I am realizing this, and this is what I want you to realize today as your pastor. I want to give you this hope. I am realizing that God's grace in the midst of that is refining me. Is it uncomfortable? You better believe it. It is uncomfortable. It is painful at times. But am I growing? Absolutely, you better believe it. I am growing in ways that I never have before. I am growing, and I would not be growing right now without that discomfort. And so I am choosing, and I am encouraging you today, I'm challenging you today to take the perspective that your discomfort, the uncomfortable things that you may be having to go through right now are refining you. They are purifying you. They are making you more like Christ. And that is an amazing and beautiful, beautiful thing. We have a choice to make today. We have a choice. When we are in the fire, when we're in the fire of a relationship that's uncomfortable, that's difficult, when we're in the fire of an uncomfortable job situation, an uncomfortable mental, physical, or spiritual health issue, in our finances, we can see it as God punishing us. We can see it as God abandoning us, or we can see it for what it really is, as his grace in our lives that is refining us. Don't miss how beautiful his uncomfortable grace really is. Your struggles, they are an act of grace. Embrace the discomfort of those struggles. See them as God's favor, as his undeserved favor in your life. And I promise you this, you will begin to see growth. Jesus put those disciples in that position, in that situation, in the middle of that storm, straining with those oars to grow them and change them. And it did in amazing ways. They went on to change the world as they spread the gospel and began the church. They did amazing things, but they never would have got there without God's uncomfortable grace, without the uncomfortable grace of Jesus. And so I'll ask you this question as we get ready to close today. Can you imagine how different your life would be if you began to have that perspective about the uncomfortable situations in your life? There is a refinement going on. There's a purification process that is going on. And on the other side of that discomfort, there is a reward. There is change. There's life change that happens in that. You know, what I love so much about Jesus is that he set the ultimate example for us. He did. He set the ultimate example of embracing the uncomfortable. When he left heaven, when he came into this world to live as a man, to struggle and to go through all the uncomfortable things that we go through as humans, and ultimately to die the most uncomfortable death you could die. He laid down his life for us in the most uncomfortable way. And I am so thankful that he didn't quit, that he didn't turn and run from it in the middle of his discomfort, because on the other side of him making himself so uncomfortable was my redemption and your redemption. He made himself uncomfortable so that you and I could live in his redeeming grace and be restored. My prayer today is that if you have never fully understood that today would be the day that Jesus Christ offers you this amazing, comfortable grace that says you don't have to earn your salvation. You don't have to earn right standing with me. I did it. I finished it on the cross for you. But I also want to talk to those who've accepted that comfortable grace, who've been following Jesus, and maybe you've been going through some incredibly uncomfortable situations in your life, and you've been struggling. I want to encourage you to take on this perspective with me. It will change your life. It will grow you in ways you've never been grown before. That uncomfortableness, that discomfort that you are going through, it is growing you. It is refining you. Would you see your struggles today as refinement and have the perspective that it's part of Christ's rebuilding work in you, that he is growing you and changing you through that. That is my hope and prayer for you today. I love you guys. I want to see you thrive in this life. I want to see you get on the other side of that uncomfortable situation and have it not break you down and destroy you, but actually build you up. That is what the uncomfortable grace of God does in our lives. We don't deserve it, but it's what he offers us. It's his method and his mode for getting us where we need to go. Why? Because ultimately he loves us and he does want a better life for us. That's my hope and my prayer for us today. Would you live knowing that uncomfortable grace every single day is changing you and making you better? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you for your goodness and faithfulness, for your uncomfortable grace in our lives, God. I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful for the way that you're refining me and changing me and growing me, God. And even when it's so difficult, even when the pain gets so great that it feels like I want to quit, God, you are there walking beside me. Jesus, you are always with me. You are watching from afar, from the mountainside, as I go through these struggles. And you're not watching, you know, and looking at me and thinking, whatever, I'm not going to come to his aid. I'm not going to help him out. God, you're watching and you're waiting for the right timing to come and to calm the wind and the waves. You're waiting for me to learn what I need to learn. And so I pray that we would learn that today. In the refiner's fire, God, that you would change us, make us more like you, grow us, and change us. And we will give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for how you work in our lives. We love you, Jesus. We thank you and praise you. It's in your perfect name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in, for worshiping with us, for getting into the Word with us. I'm praying for you, rooting for you this week as you navigate the uncomfortable in your life. I believe God is going to do a work in you if you will latch on to this perspective and begin to allow him to change you through it. Hopefully we'll see you next week for week 2. Have a great week. And again, praying for and rooting for you guys. Take care. Have a good one.